God, you said where two or three together in your name, there you are in the midst of them. And Lord, we thank you for your presence. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you have given us your Holy Spirit to live and dwell within us, to lead us and guide us into all truth, to show us things to come. We are grateful, Lord, you did not leave us without the Comforter and our guide and our teacher. And we just thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit. And we pray, God, that you will lead us, God, to order our steps, that we would walk in your will, that we would flow in your Spirit. We just pray today your kingdom come and your will be done. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Good to have everybody here. I should say we don't have everybody here this morning, but that's all right. There's some kind of crazy little sickness going through, so they didn't need to come spread it on to us this morning. That's good. Hallelujah. Do you have the announcement? Let's do the announcement real quick. I just wanted to catch folks before. Sometimes we have people, but we're going to be doing a long-distance earth curvature test in across Mobile Bay. That's going to be on February 25th. Now, we're going to be going down the night before. We may do a laser test the night before if weather permits, but we're going to definitely go to dinner somewhere the night before and try to do a laser test that evening. But the main day will be Saturday starting at 9 a.m. That's Central Time, and that's going to be at North Beach Park there in Fairhope, and we'll be on, so that's on the east side of Mobile Bay, and we'll be shooting back to the west and northwest with our P900s and telescopes and whatever else we bring. So we want to encourage you, if you can come, we'd love for you to come. If you can come the night before, great. If you can, if you just come down for the day, that's fine. I think we're going to have the biggest group we've ever had to do this. Of course, we already know the outcome. We've done this several times, but true science is to repeat experiments and observe them and see if you get the same result. So we'll be doing that on the 25th. And then, of course, go ahead and put Skyfall up. Just go ahead. Registration is open for Skyfall 2023. Starting to get some ideas of some other speakers that I'm going to be talking to. But that's going to be June the 2nd through the 4th in LaGrange, Georgia, at the Callaway Conference Center. Registration is open now. You pick your also pick whether you want your lunch on those days. And you can pay for it there. Now, we did the first conference we didn't charge anything, and we had a bunch of fake registrations. So what we do now is charge $25 registration fee, but you get a T-shirt with that $25 registration fee too. But that stopped the fake registrations right there. So people don't want to give money for a fake registration. So, and if they want to give us money and not show up, that's fine too, right? All right. So, but, you know, other conferences are charging $150, $200 to attend. We don't do that kind of thing. So, anyway, just wanted to give you those before we get started this morning. Everybody feeling good? Looking good? All right. Well, get your Bibles out this morning, and we're going to go first to Jeremiah chapter 5. You know, and I just have to go with the flow here, what the Lord wants me to do. So y'all bear with me this morning. We're going to be a good bit here in the prophets. But Jeremiah chapter 5, let me get there. Goodness. All right, Jeremiah chapter 5. Now, I want to skip down. We're going to come back and read the first part of chapter 5, but I want to skip down and read verse 30 and 31 first, okay? Well, actually, 29 through 31. We're going to read those first. Verse 29. The Lord says, "Shall I not visit for these things?" Now, we're going to go back and read what he's talking about. He says, "Shall I not visit?" And this is talking about visit in judgment. "Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?" And then he says, "A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, And the priests bear rule by their means or their own way, their own plans, their own ideas. And my people love to have it so. What will you do in the end thereof? Now, what the Lord, I guess, would going to call this today is America and her prophets. Now, I know I've been mentioning this and talking about this over the last couple of weeks a little bit, but I'm more disturbed by the day. Because I watched last night, how many of you have heard of Andrew Womack? Ever heard of Andrew Womack? Well, Andrew Womack had on Lance Wall now, and they're talking about the whole Seven Mountain mandate, the Dominion Now, Kingdom Now theology that they believe. And, you know, Andrew Womack's a very respected minister in the kingdom of God, right? Got a ministry school, all this stuff. I heard him say this last night watching his video about America. He said, everything is going to get better and better. Now, this is his, and he says, this is his prophetic revelation for America, that things are going to get better and better. All right? Now, this is that whole idea. And again, they were sitting there talking about, we're going to invade all these mountains, media and entertainment, politics, all this stuff, education, religion. We can't even get that one right. But we're going to invade them all and take them over, right? But I want to tell you right now, if you want to know the theme of a false prophet, okay? If you want to know the basic, and I'm going to show you this in the scripture this morning, but if you want to know the basic thing, especially in a wicked and adulterous generation such as we live in, if you want to know to mark who the false prophets are and who the true prophets are, it's real simple. The false prophets will tell you nothing bad's going to happen. It's going to get better and better. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. And when prophets do this in a time when the storm clouds of famine and pestilence and wrath and judgment are on the horizon, this is when they are the most dangerous to be speaking to the nation. Now, we've got them. We got one here in Alabama. I found out there's a prophet up here, up the road in Warrior, Alabama, that talks about going to heaven all the time. And that God, he saw God in a cube of jello, that God lives in some kind of cube of jello. Exactly. And my mind is just blown. That really we have, and you're going to see, the Bible talks about we have, this guy walks in with a staff, with his long hair and a ponytail and a black long jacket, looking like, you know, Chris Angel or a warlock of some kind. And Neo. And I'm sitting here going, this is just silliness. And there's a place, I'll show you, we'll get there in a minute, where God talks about the prophets are light, frivolous, treacherous. And I sit here, how in the world can you sit here for 1 second and look at what's going on in the world and in America and think things are getting better and better? You have to be delusional. You have to absolutely be. Are we better morally in America than we used to be? Are we more prosperous? Are we more noble? No. We're actually at the point, you know, the 240, what is it, years or so here that we have been a nation. This is about the exact number that all nations began their complete decline. And I want to tell you right now, I love my country. I've enjoyed the blessings and the freedom that we are afforded here. To a point. And I see those going away quickly. And I pray, and I pray and hope and ask God and get other people to pray that those things will be stopped before it's too late. And I know that all nations are not going to bow the knee to the Antichrist and the beast world government and that system. They don't have to. It's their choice. He will try to exert his power over all nations, kindreds, and tongues. But you will have the right to say no. Now, saying no gets you cut off economically or killed or imprisoned. But isn't that where Christianity always ends up? And yet they can't stamp us out. In fact, throughout history, the more they persecute us, the more we grow and flourish. It's in times of prosperity that we seem to, even the church moves into decline. We get at ease in Zion. We get settled, as the Bible says, settled on our lees. You know what that means? The little particles in a bottle of wine that finally settle all to the bottom because it's been doing nothing. The Bible uses those terms. My people are settled on their lees. They've been doing nothing. They're at ease in Zion. Everything's wonderful. And the Lord says, you know, and during those times when we prosper, we build temples and palaces that are just empty shells. We got an abundance of prophets, but no word from the Lord. There's a lying spirit in all of them. And why is that? I'll tell you why. Because they've made idols out of the works of their hands. The ministry they've built, the church they've built, the following they've built. And those things are idols instead of looking at what the Word of God says, the uncomfortable part. That's why in these churches they don't talk about sin specifically. They don't ever really confront sin in individuals and in their own life. They don't confront the false prophets. No, because that would be unpopular. That would cause the giving numbers to go down. That would cause the following numbers to go down. Can't have that because, you know, we got to get that advertising money. Right? And this is ministers. Money is the idol. Gold and silver is their idol. And you can tell it real easy. You just look at what they say or they don't say. Because if they're not willing to tell the truth of God's word that offends somebody, that might offend somebody, then they're in it for the money and the popularity. But these prophets that have a word every day and every week, I'm going to tell you right now, if somebody's given a prophetic word every single day of the week or close to it, it's not God. It's not even close to being God. They're listening to a spirit, all right, but it's not the Holy Spirit. There's a woman that's prophesied all the time. What's her name? Oh, Lord, the pink-haired lady. Yeah. Now, that's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs right there. Cat Kerr. She took up where the false prophet Bob Jones left off and all the insanity. But there's some others out there that are on, I don't know their names. I don't know that one. But they, it's like they have they just sit in the throne room that they've astral projected up to. And they have a word every day. And I'm like, and what gets me is, just like this says, the prophets prophesy falsely. The priests, the leaders, the spiritual leaders, pretty much do things by their own ideas and thoughts. But he says, my people love to have it so. What I marvel at is the flocks of people, the multitude, the abundance of people that just flock to these people. And I'm like, somebody is not reading the book. But there is a tendency within Christians to run to and fro. I need a word from the Lord. I got a word from the Lord for you right here. Read this book until it scares the hell out of you and you get the sin out of your life. Read this book until you know what God expects. Read this book until you know Jesus for real. Read this book until this book speaks to you. And I'm all for God speaking to you. I believe God still speaks to his children by his Spirit. No doubt about that. But let me tell you right now, he doesn't speak contrary to this book right here. You know what America's idol is? Celebrity. All you got to do is get a little famous. I don't care if it's just a little famous. People start, And it's wild, man. I'm telling you. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Even when the whole flat earth revival exploded, right? And I watched people look at people that they've been watching videos and just thinking that they're like some kind of famous celebrity. I remember Mark Sargent acting like he's some movie star when we were in North Carolina. And he's a goofy new age idiot. And I was like, what are you? And the Christians were running around with him. And you know what I did? I had breakfast with him one morning. You know what I told him about? Jesus. He didn't like that. That made him uncomfortable. You don't worship people. But look, I'm going to read it again before we get into this any further. Y'all don't mind this morning, do you? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. Do you hear that? Now, when he says wonderful, that's being used as like amazing. Like, I cannot believe that this is going on. The prophets prophesy falsely and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. What will you do in the end thereof? What are you going to do? Now let's go over to chapter 6. I want to read a little bit here. Verse 1, we're going to read a good portion of this. He goes on to say, O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem. Blow the trumpet in Tekoa, set up a sign in Beth-Hekerem. For evil appeareth out of the north, and a great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flock shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed everyone in his place. Prepare ye war against her. And this is what's coming. Prepare ye war against her. This in Israel and all this, just put America in here. Prepare ye war against her and arise. Let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise, let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, said, hew down the trees and cast a mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. Now he goes on to say a whole bunch. I want to skip down a little bit. He's talking about his fury. He says down in verse 13, from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Then he says, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And this is what I was getting at a minute. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At a time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Now, before I read the next verse, I just want you to see that. He says, they're not even ashamed. They don't even blush. But I've watched Christians do this for years. It's like, it's mind-boggling. Now, don't get me wrong. Let me tell you this. I know that men and women of God sometimes fall into sin. But let me tell you, a true man or woman of God, if they fall into sin, they're broken over it. they are weeping like Peter went out and wept bitterly. Judas just went out and hung himself. Like, he didn't handle it correctly. But Peter was weeping because Peter was convicted of his sin. He hated the fact that he sinned. And so what did that lead to? That godly sorrow led to true repentance in Peter. So I see a man of God out there do something like that, but showed no real remorse. No real, not just that I have sinned against the wife of my youth. Not only have I done something that God hates, right? But I've been a bad example, a bad witness to the whole world. Maybe I need to walk softly and humbly. Maybe I need to take some time away from being the hot shot until I work out whatever issue is there that caused all this. You know, I went through this. I went through a divorce in end of 2001, the beginning of 2002. But I was the party that didn't want it. I was the party that tried to keep it together. And I didn't cheat. There were not grounds to do it. But let me tell you something. I knew even after she went ahead and went through with the divorce, which broke my heart, ripped my heart out of my chest. Do you know it was 7 years before I got married again? I don't understand folks that can get a divorce and before the ink's dry on the paper, get married again. Now, I'm sorry if I'm upsetting some folks, because I believe there are biblical grounds for divorce. In fact, I'll give you three. There's biblical grounds for divorce. There's three. Number one is sexual immorality. Your spouse cheats on you. Any sexual act with somebody else outside of the marriage, that is adultery. And God says that you can't divorce and remarry except in the case of fornication. It'll say fornication and then it'll say adultery. But fornication is an all-encompassing word of sexual immorality. It means any sexual act. Okay? Outside the marriage, that you can divorce and remarry and you're not held to it. The other one is when you're abandoned. Somebody leaves you, you haven't cheated on them, you don't beat on them, and they just decide they're leaving you, and there's nothing you try to stop it, they determine to go on. It's very clear, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul makes it very clear, brother, sister, if the unbelieving one departs, you say, well, what if they're a Christian? How can you call them unbelieving? If they're departing from you, they're departing from God. And he says, if the unbelieving one departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. So, abandon. Number three, 1 Peter chapter 3, when he says that, he's talking about there a woman that has a husband that doesn't obey God. He said, but, as long as he wants to dwell with you, you should stay there. Paul said the same thing. He said, as long as you're not afraid in any amazement. Okay, and this is in Peter. The words there mean as long as you're not living in fear and terror for your life. Meaning physical abuse, danger. No woman is expected, or man for that matter. Sometimes some people are married to MMA women. But no person is expected to stay in a relationship where they are being physically abused or they are in terror for their lives. Okay? Those are the three ways you can get out of a marriage and you are not held to it. Now, there's people out there that, I'm going to get the emails because they don't read the rest of the Bible, all these stuff that's in the Bible about divorce and remarriage. They just say, if you get divorced, can't get remarried, period. I'm like, read the rest of the book. But that's just Pharisees wanting to be religious, all right? Now, I knew I needed to say that this morning for somebody because, I'm not trying to beat up people that's been divorced and remarried. And folks, then if you did some things like that before you were saved, I know people like, the Assemblies of God used to say, you couldn't be an ordained minister in the Assemblies of God if you had been divorced even before you got saved. And I'm like, how are you holding that against them when they did that before they were even born again. I mean, are we going to hold their sins against them after they get saved? No. And there's a difference between doing something when you're unsaved and then knowing better and doing it as a believer, as a born-again Christian. And don't get me wrong. Divorce is not the unpardonable sin, but it is something to be taken very seriously because it is adultery, and adultery is a sin unto death, meaning eternal separation and damnation from God. All right? So it is something to be taken seriously. And God says he hates it, by the way. And so we really, the church world, I mean the secular world, they're going to do what they're going to do. But the body of Christ that says we believe the Bible and we're going to walk according to God's standards, we better take this divorce and remarriage thing very seriously. And we better take, married couples better take, guard yourself. Don't put yourself in places, in situations. I don't care if it's just building an emotional relationship with somebody that's not your spouse. You feel like you can talk to them more than you can talk to your spouse. Big no-no. You're headed down the road to an affair. Big no-no. Right? Y'all wouldn't believe the stuff I get. And let me tell you, I get emails from women from all over the world that start talking about things that are inappropriate for us to be talking about. You know what I do? Nancy, you take care of this one. Here's what's funny. You know when the woman has other motives? Because when I hand them over to Nancy, they get mad. But let me tell you something. It protects me. I've had women send me inappropriate pictures. I have to tell my wife, you deal with this, please. Yeah, when you get an email from somebody, you open it thinking, oh, it's just a regular email. Okay. I'm going to tell you, it's a crazy, crazy world. But we have to guard ourselves. And I think about all these prophets and these pastors in America, and I've watched in the Pentecostal charismatic movement, there is really almost a flippant, frivolous, loose idea about sexual immorality, adultery, unbiblical divorce and remarriage. It's like, oh, no big deal. And I remember watching this. Look, here, you want to hear the indictment on these prophets. 2008, the Lakeland Revival. Okay? Now, I was watching the Lakeland Revival because I'm for revival. If God starts moving, I'm for God moving, right? And I remember when I tuned in the first time, I didn't know who Todd Bentley was. I had no idea, never seen him before. But the worship leader was Roy Fields. And I knew of Roy. I didn't know Roy at the time. I know Roy now. But I didn't know Roy at the time, but I remember the anointing was so strong on him. And then Bentley would get up and you'd be like, what? What just happened? Later I found out talking to Roy, he didn't know Todd either. Just they started these meetings and somebody said, hey, we need a worship leader. And they called him and said, would you come? And he said, well, I don't know this guy, but, I'll come because he knew a lot of the pastors in Florida because Roy Fields lives in Florida. Well, I remember I was watching. And I was like, and the guy would get up and it was that charismatic nonsense. There was no revival preaching. There was no repentance of sin preaching. There was no conviction. At the Brownsville Revival, you could be standing in the line outside and feel the fear of God and feel conviction of your sin before you ever got in the building. And Steve Hill didn't ever miss a chance to call people to repentance, to call out sin and preach the gospel, right? So to me, if you have a revival and you're not preaching repentance from sin and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing people get saved and seeing prodigals come in, I don't care what's going on. Now, the big thing at Lakeland was, there's healing. It was a healing revival. I said, well, maybe some folks are getting healed, but it's not a revival. Because I know what a revival is. But then as I kept watching, then I saw Bob Jones' prophet show up. Then I saw Paul Kane show up. Now, some of these people, these names aren't going to mean anything to you. But if you've been in the Pentecostal charismatic movement for any number of decades like me, You know who these people are. I wrote about them in the polluted church. But Paul came. I told Roy one time, we were talking about it, about the Lakeland Revival. Now, here I'm talking to the worship leader of the Lakeland Revival. It's 3 hours on the phone one day. We're talking about Lakeland. I said, what were you doing there? He said, I don't know, man. It was terrible. Terrible mistake. I said, what were you doing when Bob Jones and Paul Kane showed up? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I was there when he walked in the door. He said, and immediately started his prophelying. I said, yeah. Because you know what, Paul Kane? Paul Kane's this big prophet, right? In the prophetic movement, the father of these, many of these prophets, the spiritual father. And he was in homosexual relationship and getting drunk in private. And coming into the big stage and prophesying. And 10,000 people a night were showing up there. Now, what gets me? Here we go. Let's go. So, Rick Joyner, big prophet in the prophetic movement, charismatic prophetic movement. Rick Joyner shows up. Bob Jones shows up. Paul Kane shows up. What's his name? Bill Johnson, Bethel shows up. They all show up. C. Peter Wagner, all these people show up. All the whole prophetic movement shows up to anoint Todd Bentley as the apostle of revival, the next Brownsville, the next Steve Hill. And they all lay hands on him and give all these prophecies while he's cheating on his wife with their assistant. It's going on while they're laying hands on him, prophesying how great this revival is going to go on for decades. It's going to get more and more powerful. Todd Bentley's going to be used mightily of God. He's cheating on his wife. See, there wasn't a prophet among them. Because a true prophet would have said, you're in adultery, son. And you better step down and you better repent. But no, he didn't repent. He went on and married, divorced his wife, who was partially crippled, and left all their children with the crippled wife to marry the new young assistant. And that's when the Lord told me to write. See, the whole thing about the polluted church from Rome to Kansas City, the Lord had me write that, was because of the Lakeland Revival. I knew people that went down there. I wasn't about to go down there and let them lay hands on me. And I'll tell you another thing. What I hated to see was back then at the time, right as the revival was starting, I saw Steve Hill and John Kilpatrick of the Brownsville Revival go and put their blessing on it. John later repented. John later repented and said, I really didn't know him. I should not have blessed it. I made a mistake. Steve never said anything. Steve died of cancer shortly thereafter. Now, you say what you want to say, but I know some of the people that Steve let come into his church in Texas, Steve Hill, knew there were these false prophet groups, some of these false prophets. And I even told his wife one day, I told Jerry, while he was at the point of death, I said, Steve has associated like Josaphat with the wrong people. And this is why he's dying. This is why the cancer won't go away. Steve had people praying for him all over the world, and he still died of cancer. Why? Because he never dealt with the people that he led in his church, that he let lay hands on him, that he blessed and laid hands on them and blessed their ministries when they were false prophets. And I love Steve Hill. And Steve Hill's a man of God. Steve Hill's in heaven. But that was a fatal mistake. John Wimber of the Vineyard made the same mistake. The Vineyard Church's massive movement worldwide. They blessed us with some of the best worship songs, praise and worship songs that have ever been written. But the moment that John Wimber let Paul Kane, Mike Bickle of IHOP, and these rest of the false prophet crew come in to the Anaheim Vineyard. And the moment he let them come in, he fell and hit his head. They discovered a brain tumor. John Wimber's dead. Now, I don't believe there's any coincidence. He began to associate with these false prophets, and he ends up dead. This is what I'm talking about. In the church world, we're supposed to discern who is of God and who is not of God. And primarily, do they stick to the Word of God? And we find somebody that says they're a prophet, a pastor, a man of God, and they're in adultery, homosexuality. They're all about money. They're covetous. They're into idolatry. It says we're not even to eat with them. You don't associate with them. These Christians, these prophets and pastors and Christian leaders that go and take selfies with the Pope. And, oh, yeah, we love Catholic. We love the Pope. We love Roman Catholicism. And don't explain the problems and deal with the problems within the Roman Catholic Church. Not only the doctrinal error, the idolatry, they just join up and say, yeah, it's great. False prophets leading you astray. Anything that leads you back to Rome is of the devil. For us, you know, remember, for the Israelites, it's anything that led them back to Egypt. For us, it's anything that leads us back to Rome. Anything, any doctrine. Any compromise. You see, I know y'all think, many of people think Billy Graham was the best thing since sliced bread. And maybe in the 50s, and maybe some in the 60s when he was preaching. But something happened along the way. Because Billy began to compromise. And Billy began to hang out with the Pope and the Catholics and say Catholicism was fine. You want to know why his crusades were so big? It's because he nestled up to the Pope and to the Catholic Church, and the Catholics would come out. Let me tell you, if I did a crusade, there ain't no Catholics showing up unless they want to get saved. I got people in this town hate me because I speak against the Catholic Church. But I got to tell the truth, right? Not here to just win friends. It's not why God called me to preach. But these are America's prophets, y'all. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Oh, America's going to be. Here's one thing I hate. If I hear another person say this, I'm going to throw up. The best is yet to come. What crack pipe are you smoking? The best is yet to come? No, it's not. See, if you want to encapsulate the message of a false prophet, that's it. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come for America. No, it's not. And this is what the Lord was telling me yesterday. He just kept leading me to these Old Testament scriptures and go, this is America, this is America, this is America. Let's back up and read. Go back to Jeremiah 5 and back up. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, or America, and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, discernment, that seeketh truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. So he's saying, even though they're talking about Jesus, there's falsehood in them. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they refuse to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock, and they have refused to return. Therefore, I said, surely These are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me to the great men, and I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds, meaning the yoke there, meaning the control, that they've broken the standard, the morality of God. They don't want that on their lives. They just want to do what they want. He says, wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them, and a leopard shall watch over their cities, and everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery, and assembled themselves in troops in the harlots' houses. Everything there, everything I've been talking to you. You want to know the biggest harlots? The Roman Catholic Church. But he says very plainly there, they've committed adultery. They assemble themselves by troops in harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? The judgment of God is coming to America, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, the balloon was a sign. And I'm going to tell you what it was a sign of. Just a second. But he says this in verse 10, go ye up upon her walls and destroy. This is what the Lord told me years ago. But make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of America, they have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. No evil is going to come upon us. And the prophet shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done to them. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. The false prophecies that they are embracing is what's going to be the thing to devour them. I think about this thing, the reason I'm on this thing about the dominion now, the kingdom now, the seven mountain, this whole preterist idea that Jesus came in 70 AD, or we're in the millennial reign with this Tartaria nonsense, that the millennial reign has already happened 1,000 years. All this nonsense that there's no end time Bible prophecies to be fulfilled. If you believe that, you will not prepare for the coming famine, food shortage. You will not prepare for the changes in the economic system. You will not prepare for the mark of the beast. You will not prepare for anything. You will not take warning. You will not be prepared. And it's therefore the prophecy of everything's going to get better and better. That prophecy is going to destroy you. And it may even cause you to turn against the Lord. Because when it doesn't get better and better, then your faith goes out the window. You have to understand that things in the end times, he warned us, they will get. He said, evil men and seducers will wax what? Better and better? Worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. God said the judgment's going to be so severe that mankind, a man's going to be more precious than gold. He said there'll be seven women to one man. We're going to get to that point. We're not there yet. Think about how many men are about to die in war. To the fact to get us to seven women to one man. Does that sound like things are going to get better? When the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that we're going to have a war that's going to kill one third of mankind. Do you know that World War I, 8.2 million people died. World War II, 60 million people died. In communism, a spread of communism after World War II, about 100 million, anywhere between 100 to 200 million. We're talking about a war now with 7 billion people here. We're talking about a war killing over 2 billion people. Closer to 3 now, yeah. 3 billion. That is hard to even fathom. And it says by fire, 1/3 of mankind. I love that. I wrote it in a post this week about the things, these people that saying Jesus has already come back and the end time prophecies were already fulfilled. And I'm like, when did all the oceans turn into blood and everything in them die? When did a mark get instituted, an implanted mark get instituted worldwide to control all buying and selling of every person on the earth? When did that happen? Did that happen in 70 AD? Here's another funny one. Nero died in 68 AD, right? The Bible says that Jesus takes the Antichrist alive when he comes and throws him in the lake of fire. So if Nero was the Antichrist, he died 2 years before Jesus showed up. There's so many holes in the preterist kingdom now, dominion now, Tartaria, millennial reign nonsense that I could take an hour and just destroy that. But really, what is the motive behind this? Let me tell you what the motive is. Idolatry, covetousness. We want it all in here. We want to be the big shot here. We want to take over all these mountains of influence and be the prosperous kings and lords over it all here. We can't be negative. We've got to have a victorious view of the end times. Well, no. See, your victorious view revolves around you. My victorious view revolves around Jesus coming. I don't trust myself to take over the world and run it correctly. And haven't we seen what happens when you give human beings that live in this flesh suit power? What does it say? Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Human beings are by nature corrupt and easily corruptible. Let's skip on down, and this is Jeremiah 5. Let's skip on down to verse 20. He says, declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me? The Lord's like, you don't fear me. He said, will you not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot, yet can they prevail, not prevail, I'm sorry. Though they roar, yet they not pass over. But this people has a revolting and rebellious heart, and they are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season, and he that reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat. They shine. They overpass the deeds of the wicked. They ignore it. They let them get away with it. They overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy they do not judge. Shall not I visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. What will you do in the end thereof? This is America. I hate to say it. I wish it wasn't. Say, well, Pastor Dean, couldn't we have another revival? Yeah, we would. We could. Still not going to stop. the judgment of God. I want to show you something. I'll show you this. Just put up the pictures of the balloon, if you will. Everybody seen the balloon? The alleged China balloon. Let me tell you what this, first of all, this confirms what I wrote about in the Light Clay Under the Seal 2019. That satellites are just balloons on balloons. There it is. I mean, that's a satellite. So that's a, all satellites are on balloons. I don't have time to get into that. But some people were saying, well, is this one of our balloons? And they're just saying it's a Chinese balloon. Or is it a Chinese balloon? And then if it is a Chinese balloon, yeah, how would they know? Well, we can pick up transmissions from them, so we could know that way. But here's the thing. It was allowed to just fly. They knew about it 2 months ago. Now, here's the scary thought that I think why the Biden administration, which are traitors, they're New World Order traitors, and the Chinese were brought to their strength by the New World Order people like Kissinger and so forth. They planned this for a long time to make China strong, to be able to fight against the United States, to be their foot soldiers. And even the Chinese president said that they're going to lead the New World Order. All right. And, you know, we've had world leaders, even some of our own, praise how China handled the Wuhan outbreak, right? By killing folks and locking people down and, you know, stealing their kidneys and everything else, right? But let's just say it is China. If it is China, I think what just happened was the preparation for either a nuclear detonation, EMP strike, or to nuke a city. And these balloons are massive. Some of them are big as a football field. They've also increased the ability to steer them. So they're steerable. They don't just float randomly in the currents. But folks, if an EMP hit the United States, electromagnetic pulse from a detonated weapon over the United States, it's going to shut down the electrical grid, and pretty much everything with a computer chip in it, instantaneously. Everything. So the question is, if that happened tomorrow, how prepared are you for that? Would you be able to have light in your home at night? Because just think of this one thing. Just think of not being able to have any lights, no street lights coming in through the window. I can tell you this, at my house, when it's not a full moon and my street light in front of my house is not on, I can't see in my front yard my hand in front of my face. You don't know dark until all the lights go out. Will you be ready just to have light, to see your way around your house at night to the bathroom? Oh, and will you have water? If the electricity is off, the water filtration plants will not be filtering your water. They might for a little while if they have generators. Will you be able to filter your own water? Now, there's filters you can buy. There's little filters you can buy that you can drink out of a sewage pond, and it'll filter everything out. You can drink water out of your toilet through these filters. Do you have them? Called Life Straws. One Life Straw is worth about filter 260 gallons of water. But there's family Life Straws that you can pour water into and get water out of, and they'll give you about 10,000 or so gallons of water filtered. Are you ready for that? What about you? You guys, those of you who have electric stoves, which most of us do. Some have gas, but most have electric stoves now. How are you going to cook? How are you going to cook a simple breakfast? Cook your eggs. Bacon. Yes, bacon. I eat bacon. Now you say, yeah, I can go out in the yard and start a fire and cook. Yeah, I hope you're ready for that. But are you ready to cook if it's raining outside? If it's freezing cold. Now, here in Alabama, it gets cold here sometimes. But I can't imagine somebody that lives up north what they're going to have to do and deal with. People that have winter about 6 months out of the year. But again, you got to think about it. You got to think about heating your home. If it is 20 degrees outside or 15 degrees or whatever, it's gotten cold here. It can get cold here in Alabama. No electric heaters won't work. Kerosene, if you don't know what you're doing, you'll burn your house down. Do you have a wood-burning stove? Do you have some wood? Got to have wood to make that work. Do you have a way to start a fire? Do you know how to start a fire? Do you have guns to be able to hunt food that you might need to go get? Yes, the cute little furry animals are delicious. And especially when you can't go to the grocery store. You say, well, Pastor Dean, it sounds crazy. No. Babylon fell in one evening. I'm not saying America's Babylon. I don't believe that. I know that's been a popular thing too. Mystery Babylon is the Roman Catholic Church. And America, though, America is going to be judged. Now, God said, and I believe he spoke this to me a long time ago, he will not make a full end. But I want to play this, play the Tucker video real quick. Oh, and guess what we found out while they're getting that ready? I need to tell you all this. How many of you know America's Mom? You've seen her online? You know, She interviewed me in Missouri. I saw her video. She pulled up an NIH study from a while back. Guess what the study was? The study was is that eggs keep the SARS-CoV spike protein from attaching to the ACE2 receptors in human beings. Eggs. Any wonder that they're trying to do away with the eggs? Right. Plus, it's a cheap and simple way of getting protein. They've even spiked the feed Purina has to make the chickens not lay eggs. It's a war against you. But Tucker talks about all of this. Let's play this video real quick here.
Welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Last spring in March at a press conference in Brussels, Joe Biden explained that the sanctions he was imposing against Russia were morally necessary. We're also going to cause food shortages around the world, including here in the United States. It's going to be real, he said. Now, Biden said this in a very odd way. There was no hint or panic, emotions you'd expect from a leader predicting the deaths of human beings from starvation. None of that. Instead, there was pure nonchalant casualness. Biden could have been describing the weather or a trip to the dry cleaners. It's going to be real. Then, Biden continued, recounting a conversation he'd had with European allies, he told us all about it. When he met with the group, Biden said, they spoke about, quote, how we could increase and disseminate more rapidly food shortages. That's what Joe Biden said, verbatim. It's on tape. So here you have the president of the United States pledging to increase food shortages at a press conference. Now, that seemed like a newsworthy event, but not a single news organization in this country seemed to notice it happened, nor did the White House correct it. But others were watching, so within days, that clip wound up on social media, and Facebook flagged it immediately as, quote, false news. Now, strictly speaking, that's untrue. There's nothing false about the video. It was entirely real. No one can test that. But apparently, Facebook users were supposed to understand that Joe Biden is senile, and therefore he's not accountable for his own words. Taking Joe Biden literally qualifies as, quote, misinformation. Now, we'll leave that whole episode for you to assess. We can't know what Joe Biden was thinking, if anything, when he uttered those words in Brussels. We can only tell you what happened afterward. Strange disasters began to beset food processors all over the United States. In April, the next month, the headquarters of one of this country's largest organic food distributors was destroyed in a fire, cause unknown. The next month, in a single week, actually, two separate private plane crashes took out two separate food processing centers. One plane hit a General Mills plant in Georgia. The other plane hit a food plant in Idaho. By the way, back in February, a boiler explosion obliterated a potato processing plant in Oregon, and so on. So even people who aren't given to connecting the dots, who don't think of themselves as conspiracy nuts, began to wonder, is there something here? But no one could tell. The Biden administration had no answers and no way to get to the answers because they had no data. And that's interesting because the Biden administration tracks a lot of things, the things that it cares about, the race and ethnicity and sex life, for example, of every person in America. Do we have enough trans-Pacific Islanders playing woodwinds in major symphonies? How about gay Southeast Asians in long-haul trucking? These are the questions that concern the bean counters in the Biden administration. And yet at the same time, that same administration keeps no real records about the infrastructure of our food supply. Apparently that has never occurred to them. So honestly, we can't really know one way or the other because we don't have a baseline whether something strange is going on with food suppliers. But some days you do wonder. On Saturday, an enormous commercial egg farm in central Connecticut burned to the ground for no obvious reason. Huge fire. At least 20 fire departments responded, fought the blaze for over 8 hours. More than 100,000 chickens died. Now, that's a sad story. But what's interesting is that most media companies did not consider it a story at all. Weird, considering egg prices have become an actual problem for most Americans. Egg prices are up more than 100% in many places. And yet, at that exact moment, when eggs are a concern, 100,000 chickens die in a freak fire, and the New York Times, which is right next door in a neighboring state, does not even cover the fire? What is that? Don't worry. Things like this have nothing to do with egg prices, say the media. It's just avian flu. Watch.
Egg consumption has grown over the years as many people are eating them as their main protein source. But the production has slumped because of the ongoing bird or avian flu epidemic. Over the last year, the USDA says nearly 58 million birds have been infected in the U.S., making it the deadliest outbreak in U.S. history. Unfortunately, the infected birds have to be killed, causing the egg supplies to fall and prices to surge. In some cases, stores are running out and limiting the amount people can buy.
We bought eggs earlier this week here at Fry's in Levine. We paid $8.99 for a dozen eggs.
So if you ask the Agriculture Department, for example, or anyone in the Biden administration, to the extent they're paying attention, which is not much, they'll tell you that egg prices are high because avian flu, and that's a completely natural virus just like COVID. The price have nothing to do with chicken farms burning down. Again, not that anyone in the government tracks that kind of thing. Why would they? Because nothing like that could ever happen. Settle down, QAnon! And a lot of people, particularly the national news media, people who could not identify a chicken if it didn't come with dipping sauce, are satisfied with that explanation. But we noticed that some farmers who deal with chickens every day are not convinced. Some of them, some chicken farmers, have noticed something odd. Their chickens aren't laying eggs or as many eggs. And these chickens don't appear sick with avian flu. They're not dying. They're still alive. They're just not producing eggs. Now, healthy hens lay eggs on a regular basis every 24 to 26 hours. But suddenly, chicken owners all over the country, not all of them, but a lot of them, are reporting they're not getting any eggs or as many. So what's causing that? Clearly, something's causing that. Some have concluded their chicken feed may be responsible. Watch.
Is the commercial feed the reason so many people's chickens have not been laying at all? This is a question that I am asking myself, and I have seen all over TikTok, Facebook, everywhere. I'm talking about chickens, tons of people who are having no eggs for 6-7 months. Like, this is not normal. I have at least 60 hens that should be laying. I have a flock of roughly 100, and I was getting 2 to 3 eggs in the summer. All summer long, I genuinely think it's the feed, especially after seeing so many people have the same problem, switching to a local feed and it fixing itself.
Really quick. So why'd we just put that clip on TV? Because that chicken owner speaks for all chicken owners because she's the world's greatest expert on avian questions? Probably not. But because the people who should be keeping track of what's going on are clearly not keeping track of what's going on because they just don't care. And so instead of going to the usual sources at the Ag Department or calling the White House press office, we decided to listen to people who actually have chickens. And that one, for example, the lady you just saw says she switched her chicken feed and it solved her problem. Her chickens began laying eggs once again immediately. Now, the specific brand of feed referenced in that video is called Producer's Pride. It's made by Purina. Most chicken feed brands are made by Purina. Purina also makes Producer's Pride, that's the cattle feed, recently subject to a recall after regulators linked that product to a series of unexplained cattle deaths. It was removed from shelves because there was a good chance you shouldn't be feeding it to livestock. Could that be happening again? Now, we don't know, but we should tell you, because again, no one else seems to be keeping track of this, that it's not just producer's pride that some chicken owners are worried about. Some have concerns about several other chicken feed brands made by Purina. So we reached out to the company today, because again, we're agnostic on this, but we figured we would do a little poking. And they said they've looked into it too, and their feed is not the problem. And that may absolutely be true. We don't know. What we did notice, though, was that that explanation was more than enough for most media companies, trained as they are to accept corporate press releases as the final word on any given topic. Well, they said it's not a problem, so it's not a problem. We don't think that's the last word. Again, we can't tell you for certain either way. But we do know, and here's really the point, that America's food supply is one of those topics it's worth being a little paranoid about. This is not a matter of how many Trans-Pacific Islander oboists we've got. This is a matter of national survival, of food, the question on which empires rise and fall. And in this specific case, eggs, poultry, and chicken, avian products, are major, major sources of protein in the diets of most Americans. And you need protein to live. If you don't have enough, you get protein deficiency, and that can stunt the growth in children. So a question like this, whatever its cause, could easily flower into an actual public health crisis. And of course, it's also potentially a national security problem. There are so few eggs right now at such high cost that smugglers are trafficking eggs across our border. Watch this.
Here at the busy San Ysidro border crossing in California, word traveling fast about a new good being smuggled into the U.S. U.S. Customs and Border Protection has reported an 108% increase in seized egg products and poultry that people have tried to smuggle through U.S. ports of entry in just the last 2 months.
So are we being a little paranoid about the American food supply? Yes, we are. And we're proud of it. And our leaders should be even more paranoid always about our food supply. Food, energy, water. Those are the three things that matter. The rest of it is noise. And of course, as always, they're ignoring what really matters.
Food, energy, and water. Y'all hear that? Yeah, go ahead. So the chicken feed's missing lysine. That's what he said. So, wow. So why would you take that out? If you know that's what the chickens need to lay eggs, then why would Purina take that out? Well, we know why. There is, look, folks, there's conspiracy theories, and then there's conspiracies that are going on, meaning people get together, plan a plan, and then do it. And this is happening. I want to throw up the banking one real quick. We got Greg Reese. I want y'all to see this real quick about the bail-ins.
Canadian veteran and political activist Jeremy McKenzie, known as the Raging Dissident, was just notified that he can no longer do banking in Canada.
As part of ending a relationship towards it today, you're not to visit any of the Scotiabank branches or bank premises in person without first getting written consent in advance from the bank, from management. So
I'm banned from the bank.
But it doesn't matter if you are a political activist or an obedient sheep, because the banks are planning on taking all of your money to pay off their debts.
I mean, it's a little bit conflicted, right? I mean, it's important that people understand they can be bailed in, but you don't want a huge run on the institution. But they have, I mean, they're going to be. That's
the FDIC currently has less than $200 billion in assets to insure over $9 trillion. That's just 1.3%. They know that a system collapse is coming, and they are already planning for bail-ins. As trust begins to fail, the people will begin to withdraw their funds, which will only guarantee a banking collapse. This is known as a bank run. In 2012, the International Monetary Fund, known for their reputation of coercion, violence, and extortion, published staff discussion notes entitled From Bailout to Bail-In: Mandatory Debt Restructuring of Systemic Financial Institutions. After the 2008 crisis, the world learned what a bailout is: trillions of taxpayer dollars printed out of thin air to pay off the banker's bad habits. It was hugely unpopular, but pales in comparison to a bail-in. So what exactly is a bail-in? It is officially obfuscated with elaborate equations, but to put it simply, it is when the bank steals your money directly from your account. They called it haircuts when they did it in Cyprus back in 2013, which the courts later ruled was legit. And a recent video on TikTok shows that the new bail-ins may have already begun.
So I'm a Bank of America and everybody's missing money. I'm also missing money over $1,300 and they're telling me to call customer service. And they keep hanging up on people. This another person here is also missing money. So we're trying to see what's going on. Money's missing today and we need our money. And they're already telling us to call customer service. And customer service ain't doing nothing about it. So just a heads up, if anybody's experiencing this, please let us know because this is not right. I'm missing $1,400 from my account, and they're telling me that there's no way they can help us. This guy's missing money too. This other person is missing money too. And these, you missing money too? There you go. So this is not something that's just one person. This is everybody's happening to them. And this is crazy. This is very crazy. Yes, Bank of America decided to take people's money without their consent. And we're asking what's going on, and they're giving us a runaround. Everybody for the same thing, man. Same thing.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
And just so you know, the banks, the European Central Bank, they're about to collapse as well. You can pull it up. Just type in Russia amassing 500,000 troops on the border of Ukraine. Folks, let me tell you, that's what we did right before we invaded Kuwait and Iraq to fight the Gulf War. We put 500,000 troops on the border there. Remember in Saudi Arabia? It's called Operation Desert Shield. Just getting the logistics, getting everything in place for our attack into those countries. Putin is serious. So Putin puts 500,000 troops on the border of Ukraine and has already said he's going to use nuclear weapons if he needs them. Has already said that if we use one of our radiological anti-tank weapons, that he will count that as a radiological event and move forward. So things are escalating. And we need to be aware and you need to be making preparations. There it is right there. 500,000 troops, that's a serious offensive right there. They're getting ready to happen. And there's no deceiving anybody anymore. NATO is at war with Russia. NATO means us and the Western countries. So if like Israel has stated that they will not ever just go quietly into the night again, that if they get surrounded and a massive force comes against Israel of Arab nations, that they have said they will use nuclear weapons. They will not hesitate. Putin is being pushed into a corner by the New World Order because they want a war. They want a war. These evil people want war, folks. They want famine, food shortage, war, death. They want to force you into a camp. They want to force you to take a vaccine they know is dangerous and harmful. They are evil. We are dealing, folks, again, I'm telling you, we are dealing with people who have the mentality of Hitler, of Pol Pot, of Mao. This is what we're dealing with. And you can stick your head in the sand. There's a lot of Americans. They love that. Stick their head in the sand and go, la, 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 la. We destroyed that evil. That evil doesn't exist anymore. No. In fact, we brought 1,600 Nazis over here and let them take over our intelligence agencies, our healthcare system, NASA, everything else. Nazis, the Nazis didn't lose the war. They moved to America. Amen. And then Ukraine. And Argentina. You understand? We're dealing with that whole, that evil spirit that pushed the Nazis to be what they were. That evil spirit still exists. and it's working through these people and their offspring. We should have never brought them here. Never. MK Ultra program, everything is by them. The pharmaceutical companies, Bayer, IBM. Yeah, it's just, they've taken over. We have been, America has been infiltrated, folks. We have been infiltrated by evil. And the Lord is going to judge. You know, I know a Navy SEAL, and he's retired Navy SEAL, but he's still got friends in. And he said, even his friends that, he said, we have SEALs, we have CIA, we have all kinds of operatives in the Ukraine. And those guys are saying, we're the bad guy there. We're the bad guy. America used to be the good guys. Now we're the bad guys. And really, it's not just this, but it's been building for some time. I mean, we really had no, there was no point going into Iraq and Afghanistan, hunting for some guy that worked for the CIA in a cave. No. All that was a lie. All of it was a show. All of it cost us trillions of dollars and thousands of lives. And nobody wins in Afghanistan. The Russians couldn't do it after 10 years. We couldn't do it in 10 years. You don't go into Afghanistan. But this is what we're doing. This is the mess we are in. And it's not going to get better. So I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's not going to get better. But why do I tell you these things? I tell you these things so that you will prepare yourself mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially, in every way. You need to be making preparations. Yeah, practical things that you're going to need in the days ahead. And what I believe, and I've always said this, is that, well, Pastor Dean, you know, we just trust the Lord, okay? That's good. You better do what you can do, though. Thing about trusting the Lord is you don't get to sit back and do nothing and just go, I'll just let the Lord do it all. Faith without works is dead. Be alone. Amen, brother. You know, people all the time say, well, I have to trust God with my money. Yeah, but you also need to go to work. Come on. You know what I'm saying? You have to do some things. So, and I could read so much more. We've gone too long today, but I felt like that we needed to understand that the prophets you're hearing out there, that no evil's going to befall us, America's going to be great again, all of these things about how we're going to be prosperous again. No, that's not what's going to happen. Remember that when the 10 kings arise, and the Antichrist is the 11th, it says when the Antichrist rises to power, the 11th, the little horn, he's going to subdue three kings. And I believe the three kings that have to be subdued for a true United Nations world order to come into place, that satanic world order, is you're going to have to subdue the United States, Russia, and China. And as I've said many times before, their goal now is not to fight the United States, Russia, and China through someone like a Hitler, like they tried before. They've discovered you don't try to fight United States and Russia at the same time. You get United States and Russia to fight each other. China and the United States to fight each other. And once weakened, those three nations are weakened, is when you will see the man of sin step forward. And the whole thing began to take over. Because what? World War I gave us the League of Nations. World War II gave us the United Nations. World War III will give us the New World Order world government. And the Antichrist will rise, and the beast world government and the mark of the beast economic system will rise to power. And they're talking about making some major moves in this area by 2025. And what's interesting in the movie, They Live. Anybody seen They Live with Rowdy Roddy Piper? Right? And he said it was a documentary and not a movie. What's interesting, if you watch the scene where they walk into the big banquet and the guy's up there giving a speech about how the world elite's working with the alien race, right? And he says that we're going to have it all, everything in place, and the rebellion dealt with, the revolters dealt with, we're going to have it all in place by 2025. Now, that movie was in, what, 88? It came out. They said, we're going to have all this in place by 2025. And remember, once the mark of the beast is instituted, meaning mandated worldwide, that means we're approximately have 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation and then the return of Jesus, the rapture at the end, and the Armageddon and everything else that's going to happen. This is how close they are. This is their goal. Just go ahead and get it in your head, 2025. But you will see them making great strides the rest of 2023 and 2024. They will be moving quickly toward these things. Food shortages. They're manufacturing that. It's the black horse, the red horse of war. The four horsemen of the apocalypse will be riding in full stride, in full fruition by 2025. You can just go ahead and mark it down. But that doesn't mean you should waste time getting yourself prepared the best you can. That's all I can tell you. The best you can for what's coming. And the better you're prepared, the more at peace you're going to be when the lights go out or the bank won't let you get your money out, so you better have some money out already. Gold and silver, I already told you all about that last week. Y'all better have some food, some water filtration, some lighting, stuff that you can, solar lighting, you can charge outside during the day and bring it in at night. Heating. You better order you some, if you need certain pharmaceuticals, you better get those before this goes down. You can order them from India if you can't get them here. Now, sometimes they seize them at the post office, but you can take that risk. Sometimes they don't. So, say, Pastor Dean, what is this about? Let me get it. The ant. You want the wisdom? I'm going to close with this. The ant. The ant prepares his food in the summer, right? He gets everything ready before the winter happens. That's why you see the ants. They're working hard constantly. And that's what the Lord wants us to be. Be like the ant. Do what you need to do to get ready. And Jeremiah, you know, Jeremiah and the prophets tried to warn the kings, the leaders of Israel, Jerusalem and Judah, warn them, here's what's going to happen. Get yourself ready. Here's what you do to prepare for this. They didn't listen. And they suffered accordingly. Had they done what Jeremiah said, the people that did what Jeremiah said to do survived. They survived. And even the king of Babylon and the armies of Babylon left them alone. See, God can give you favor even with your enemies. You hear me? If you're doing what God wants you to do. Let's stand. And by the way, we have a baptism following this. So I want everybody to come downstairs. Before we eat, we're going to do baptism. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word is truth from Genesis to Revelation. And Lord, even though we stayed in the Old Testament primarily today, you said the things that happened to them were examples to us upon whom the ends of the world have come. And so we look at what happened to Jerusalem, to the children of Israel there, in their sin and their rebellion, with their false prophets, with their covetousness and idolatry and adultery, and all of that going on, and you finally said, okay, that's it. Judgment is coming. And you gave them a final warning, but it came. Nothing's going to stop the judgment of God from coming to America, But we're grateful, Lord, you said you would not make a full or complete end of America. You have a purpose for us. There will be a remnant. There is people you will spare and you will use. You have a plan for the true, repentant, born-again followers of Jesus in this nation. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that we would be humble, that we would truly have the fear of the Lord in our hearts, that we would not be arrogant about it, but fear and trembling at the day of the Lord and the day of judgment. And that we will no longer listen to America's lukewarm, covetous, self-absorbed prophets that are leading many in the church astray. Lord, I pray for your grace and help to bring people out of that deception. Things are not going to get better and better. They're going to get worse until you return, till the Ancient of Days, till the Lord Jesus Christ breaks open the firmament and comes down here to set it right. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the truth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.